Hello listeners, and welcome to State of the Union, your weekly breakdown of all things Scottish independence. My name is Stephen Payton. The date is the 15th of January, 2021. Let's get into it. Kicking things off, a piece of actually surprising news that I honestly did not see coming. Richard Leonard has resigned as the leader of the Scottish Labour Party. Details are still pretty thin on the ground in terms of just why he really decided to step down, or for that matter, was pushed out of the role of party leader, though I'm sure more info will come to light in the coming days. All we really know at the time of recording is that Leonard said stepping down was in the, quote, best interests of the party. While certainly under pressure to move on for quite a while, given the lackluster performance as leader, the timing is the most surprising thing, though his recent performance in relation to the coronavirus pandemic has been nothing short of embarrassing. Just last month, Leonard called the SNP authoritarian over plans to temporarily shut pubs to stop the spread of the virus. Following that, and seemingly understanding that maybe more drastic action was needed after all, Leonard then bizarrely asked, Actually, no. I don't think I can even summarise this, so I'm just going to have to read out the whole quote. During First Minister's questions, Leonard asked, "If the new strain of the virus is 70% more transmissible than the original virus, will the government urgently increase the number of daily tests carried out in Scotland by 70%, improve the capacity, utilisation and performance of Test and Protect by 70%? And will the First Minister commit today, as soon as is practically possible, to a 70% acceleration in the rollout of the vaccination programme?" Like, where do we even start with that level of misunderstanding of basic numbers? Increased odds of 70% of catching the virus doesn't mean that just upping the number of tests by 70% is going to do anything, assuming that capacity is even available. These things are not connected. Not to mention, it's not like we can just magic up 70% more vaccine than is currently in stock. What was the point of this? It was just another gaffe at FMQs at the end of a long line of previous gaffes. Though interestingly, news of Leonard's resignation comes following other news that his party may be set to move ahead to the Tories at Holyrood on list votes, according to the latest polling data. And yes, there's been another poll, one which shows a 57% majority in support of independence for Scotland. I wonder if Richard will be calling for a 57% increase in referendums and a 57% increase in polls to reflect the 57% of Scots now backing independence. Probably not. The Savannah Comrades poll also shows the SNP on track for victory in just a few months, alongside record returns for the Scottish Green Party. The point here, really, is that the shake-up of Leonard's departure may yet have an impact on discussions around independence. With the Corbynite leader out the way, it may be the final straw for many progressive voices who were really just holding out in the hope that things could change. Given the number of Scottish Labour members who actually support independence, we could see that one step forward become two steps back. Not that Leonard, unfortunately, did much to take the party that one step forward in the first place. I suspect Tory incompetence and greed played a bigger role in this political rebalancing. And if we thought Scottish Labour's approach to independence was poor before, I think it would be fair to say it's about to get a lot worse, if Keir Starmer's recent comments are anything to go by. Though, not all of Labour is so united in this, it seems. This week, the Labour MP Clive Lewis took to Twitter to make his thoughts known on the issue. Lewis, who is once a candidate for the leadership, tweeted, "Post-Brexit, it now seems increasingly clear the Scottish people have two clear choices before them. One, union with a declining imperial power ruled by hard-right, neoliberal English nationalists, or vote for Scottish independence and look to rejoin the EU, an emerging power with democratic institutions gaining in power, not receding." Show me the lie. He's right. In contrast, Keir Starmer essentially parrots the Tory line on independence, though stops short of saying that a referendum should be delayed until 2055. Speaking with Andrew Marr, the Labour leader said that, "I don't think another divisive referendum is the right way forward, but I do accept the status quo isn't working. But I don't accept the argument that if the status quo isn't working, then the next thing you do is go to a referendum. I think there are other things you can do, other arguments that can be made in support of a United Kingdom. Well, Keir, if there are other arguments in support of a United Kingdom, it's probably time to start making them, lest we suspect that maybe that just isn't true. Starmer isn't the only one seemingly struggling to make those arguments, though. Tory MP Michael Gove was prompted once again by a round of MPs to get a move on in publishing the Dunlop Review. The Dunlop Review was a report commissioned back in July of 2019 by the then Prime Minister Theresa May that was supposed to look at devolution and recommend ways in which the union could be strengthened. Despite concluding almost a year ago, supposedly, the report has never seen the light of day and instead has been squirreled away by Downing Street. Which leads me to two possible conclusions. Firstly, the recommendations made in that report are just not of interest to the ruling parties. Reports suggested that one of the recommendations was that officials could be moved out of London to help counter the South England-centric policies and thinking that dominates the UK, and my guess is that they just are not willing to make that kind of change. Or secondly, the Tories want to keep it a secret, to have an advantage over any future Yes campaign when a second referendum inevitably comes around. Which to me runs counter to the whole proposal. If your government has to hold back decisions that would benefit the entirety of the UK, just to cynically use them in the future to secure the political decision that keeps you in power, it really does make the case for leaving this whole tawdry affair behind, don't you think? Or, I guess there is a third option, which is just that there weren't any good recommendations on account of the case for the union being as weak as it is, but who could say? That does bring this to an end this week, though. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Please do tell your pals about this podcast and help spread the case for independence. With everything said, where does that leave the state of the union? About as weak as Donald Trump's whiny excuses that he didn't do anything wrong. The poor little baby that he is. Congrats on your historic presidency, Trump. Really breaking those impeachment records. Right, I will see you all again next Friday.